today. We would look at this as live what you've learned. It's kind of fitting. Live what you've learned. Remember last week I spoke on, out of Hebrews, a lot of it on devotion, steps to dynamic devotions, and we have the information there, and it's on the website, on the message and all that. But last week I talked about giving your full attention to God. Let Jesus and his word be that foundation and sustainer for you, to celebrate daily, to continually draw near to God, to gather often with people of like faith, you know, Hebrews 10:25. Seek God diligently and believe that he is a rewarder, and to practice persistent and patient praise. So that was some of the devotional things of last week. This week I'm looking over at Philippians. And so looking at that, it's like, well, you know what? We've got to live what you've learned. We have all learned something in the very, very, very beginning of our walk with God. Number one, we have gained salvation. You know, we come to him first as asking him, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me of my sins, and become Lord of my life. And we take that step. We come into that new revelation of understanding what God's word says, is that you are now a new creation. Remember, you're a new creation. Your past is old. It's gone. All things become new. God is in the business of taking a life that is ravaged and abused and used through life and through the world's systems of ways, through friends and families and jobs or whatever the case is, that just draws you down and drains you out of anything. But God is in the business to renew that life and to make you a new creation and to give you strength and to give you a purpose. A purpose that's always been there. It's just about time that you found it, amen? And to begin that, you've got to start with that salvation step of receiving Christ. And then everything else becomes a little bit more clearer to us. So live what you've learned. Now, when I look in Philippians, you can start getting yourself focused there. It's going to be chapter 3, verses 15, 16. But in steps to devotion here, it says, devotion focuses on the pursuit of intimacy with God. It is devoting oneself to knowing Jesus Christ. One measure of maturity is the degree to which this pursuit becomes our consuming focus and desire. And this is just a side note. This is not scripture that I'm reading, okay? Nowhere is the disciple of Jesus more challenged to become a man or a woman after God's own heart than when we look at this, as far as this devotion and coming after those things that are there for us. We've got to devote ourselves. You know, it's until you're devoted to something, remember, I don't have the definition in front of me now. I thought I had my notes from last week, but I don't. But as we look at those things, it's like having, you're devoted to something that you just have a hunger for it. You have a desire for it. You're always involved in it. You're always pursuing it, whatever that devotion is. And so I want to look for us today is that we need to have that desire, that devotion to the things of God. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me, can you? Guess what it is? It's an individual walk, an individual hunger, an individual desire of what you want from God. And whatever you want from God, generally God will give it to you if it lines up with his word. But if you only ask him for just a little bit, guess what he's going to give you? A little bit. But if I ask him, Lord, give me everything, Lord, that you would have for me. You know, I want to hunger after you. I thirst after you. I desire more of you. And I trust him that as I mature in these things, that he will continue to bring forth those things into my spirit so that I am able to grow in those areas. I don't believe he'll just dump it on me all at one time, even though we come to the altar and say, give me it all, Lord. I mean, if he'd give it to you all, you would probably overload, wouldn't you? If he gave it to you all, you would probably run in an opposite direction because you said, that's too much. I don't see myself that way. My past is not going to allow me to do that. When you say that, you're saying the blood of Jesus is not good enough to cleanse you of your sins. How dare you? Because Jesus' blood will cleanse every sinner, no matter what the sin is. Amen. There isn't a certain amount of blood that's required, or he won't take care of the sin that is in this world. Do you believe that? Now, the enemy will want you to always think about that and to think that you are so far removed. I don't think God is going to let you in, Tim, because of this or that in your life in the past and all of those things. Well, that's that time that you've got to get up and stand up and say, but what I've learned by his word tells me that he has forgiven me, you know? And he says that I am new and those things are in the past. So anyway, we've got to live, you know, everybody here today, you know a lot about God already, don't you? I think you know enough. But we sometimes don't live what we already know. We get trapped into the thinking, well, before I do anything else, I need to learn more of him. I got to get more of him to go out and do this. He will gift you when the opportunity arises, when you need the gifting at the right time to give it to you. Do you believe that? And so for us, the enemy likes to say, sit in church, sit in church, sit in church, keep listening, you're not there yet, you're not there yet. And that's what the devil wants you to do. Keep sitting and keep devouring information. That's what part of that video process is with Jim Cimbala, and when God's Spirit moves, it's like you can't teach somebody how to get the Holy Spirit. And we do a lot of teaching. We try to teach on the Holy Spirit. We try to teach on the prayer. We try to teach on evangelism. We try to teach on this, and we try to teach on that. And, you know, our churches almost have become like a higher learning establishment to try to train and teach these people all the things they need to know, when we find out that everything we need to know comes by way of the Holy Spirit. So we don't need all this curriculum and all of these books and all of these things that are put out there to just spend money on. Just go to the source, the Bible, and see what God's Word says about the Holy Spirit. See what God's Word says about prayer. See what God's Word says about healing. See what God's Word says about prosperity. You don't need to buy all of these other books out there to allow these people to get rich off of what God has already spoke how to do it. And I've gotten to the point where I don't get into a whole lot of books. If I want to learn anything about God, I just need to go to the Bible. Then if I don't understand it, Lord, help me learn to understand it by that of the Holy Spirit. Now, may look at a commentary, may look at different versions of Bibles to kind of get just the flavor of things and kind of look at it and look at notes and study notes. I'm not saying those are all bad, but it's like we get ourselves so consumed to the think that before we can step out and do anything for God, we've got to be trained up to the point of we're so trained up, now we're bloated. Now I don't want to go. I don't have the time. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have the right opportunity. What we find here, it says in Philippians 3:15, and this is New King James, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything in you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained or have arrived. And the older manuscripts doesn't have, let us walk by the same rule, let us have the same mind. That was kind of added in to kind of give a thought process. When you get to that thought process, it's almost like you kind of look at that verbiage and things that I've looked at and men putting it in there. It's almost like a military type operation to where you march in formation. You know, that's what it's kind of looking at. We know a lot of times that we're in a battle, you know, and we know that God's word speaks highly in anything that he discusses and talks about. It's just like, you know, soldiers in the army of God and things of that nature, and we're going off to battle in these things. But as we look at this, let's look at it this way. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, the Amplified says this, pursuing spiritual perfection, have this mind, or the Amplified would say this attitude. Anybody here ever tell your kids, you better change your attitude? Your attitude is not the right attitude to have right now, son or daughter. You better change it. Have this attitude. And if anything in you thinks otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, or that we have already arrived, and then it goes on, let us walk by that same rule, let us be of the same mind. Verse 16 in the Amplified just has this: only let us stay true to what we have already attained. Well, you kind of look at some things, and I don't have all this broken down other than it just hit me, just as we had this morning here, and I put it in. What have I attained? Well, I am complete in him who has head over rule and authority over every angelic and earthly power. I am alive with Christ. I am free from the law of sin and death. I am far from oppression and will not live in fear. I am born of God, and the evil one does not touch me. I am holy and without blame before him in love. I have the mind of Christ. I mean, the list could go on, and maybe a Sunday or two out, maybe I'll pull this out and we'll look at these things. But live already what you've learned and go to work with it. Now, some of this is talking about, even as we get together, as our pastors in town get together, some of this, you can read this verbiage and you look at the breakdown of it as well, back in what Paul was sharing here. It's like, even as you come together as, and even in our own body of Christ, even individuals here, you may have just a little bit of a different flavor of what that verse means than this person over here, or that person back here. But the thing is saying this: but we can agree on the 99.9% of what God is about or what Jesus Christ is about. We have a commonality in that, in our teachings and our learning of the Scriptures. And so if there's just a little bit that's off here or there, we do agree on the most important things. Jesus Christ came and died for the sinner. You can't get to heaven without Jesus Christ and being born again. You know, these are some of the basic things that we as pastors in the community kind of looked at the very beginning. We got to have an understanding that it's not by your works that you get into heaven. It's not through the coattails of grandma and grandpa that you get into heaven. It's not mom and dad, you know, you're going to get there because of that, because it doesn't work that way. The same ability that they had or that you had to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior is the identical same way that they have to receive him. Or even our spouses and family members. We, you know, they will not get into heaven on your coattails. As much as I would love to make sure that, you know, I'm a born-again believer, Lord. And I pray that my sister and my nephews and all of my family, they'll just come right along with me when I go in there. But have they personally received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? No, but they know me. Like saying, well, Jesus had that to say. Well, I know you not. You know? We did all these great things. I know you not. And so we got to be careful that we don't get into this thought process that if I'm the saved one in the family, that my spouse or my kids, they're all going to get in too. Because we're united, or we're family. It's not going to work that way. I know there's scriptures in there to say your household and all that, but it's saying that in that particular instance, what it's speaking about, it's that the same opportunity that you had is the same opportunity that they have, and the same way that you had to get into heaven is the same way that they need to get into heaven. But they're not going to get into heaven because you back here received me, but they didn't take a personal relationship and receive me as their Lord and Savior. That might step on toes of people in some of our churches, some of our Christian and Bible-believing churches. If we take that scripture to say that, then we're saying, like, well, it also says in God's Word that he's a God of love, and he says that no, he desires that no one shall perish. So we have churches out there speaking that, and it's an okay, hunky-dory gospel that, well, his Word says he's a loving God, and he desires that none shall perish, so nobody's going to go to hell. Well, if that's the case, then why did Jesus come? Why did he give us a will? Choose this day who you will serve. He told that to the Israelites back in those days of the Old Testament. So even from the very beginning and from the foundations of this whole thing that God has set and spoken to existence, it's choose who, choose who. Choose, choose, choose. You have that ability. But we need to get back to live what we have learned. You have enough of the gospel in you that you will have a wonderful ability to just stand strong in the Word of God. But to do that, it takes opportunities and times. It takes devotion. It takes learning more. But here's the thing. Christian maturity involves acting on the guidance that you already have received. It gets back to that point. Well, I'm not going to go do that, or I'm not going to do this for God until I learn a little bit more about it. Well, you're going to stay studying and in that trying to learn for the next 50 years. The maturity of a Christian involves acting on the guidance that you have already received. We can always default to this thinking, and I like this thinking because it makes me feel good, and it helps me not have to do something. And this is, well, I still have a lot to learn, so I really can't do that. Well, I'm not ready to go and do that. The Lord's not prepared me to go do that. I'm not thinking, whatever the case is, we all fall into that, you know. And that's what I say. I like this sometimes where I say, well, you know, I'd like to do that, but I just really feel like I need to learn a little bit more. And then I'll come and help you. But we are reading here to use already what we know. The New Living says, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you, but we must hold on to the progress that we have already made. Don't go back. Don't slide back. You know, it's like we've taken that ground. The Word of God has come into your life and has changed you into a new creation, a new creature. Old ground is in the back. It's long gone and it's history. This new ground that we're taking and we're going and we're marching and we're fighting and we're proclaiming and we've got Jesus on our side and we're claiming healing, we're claiming health, we're claiming provisions, we're claiming. Don't go back. Keep going forward, amen? And don't stop. Sometimes we get into our Christian walk and we get really comfortable where it's at and we go, this is well and good. I'm gonna, a long time back now. Wow, I'm feeling like an old pastor now. 10 years ago, you know, it's like, could be 12 years ago. I remember having a message one time saying, don't plant your flag here and say, this is where I'm at, and leave it there. You're not exploring and going to the first one to be at the Antarctic or into the North Pole, you know? What was it they always did when they went to those regions and explored it for the first time, you know? The explorers went and they would go there and probably the first thing they did is what? They planted a flag. America has come to this. We got to the moon. What was one of the first things we did? Planted a flag. Now, some of you are saying, did we really go to the moon? No, you conspiracists out there. But, you know, we plant a flag. Sometimes that's good. Other times it's bad if I just plant the flag and say, I've arrived and this is where I'm going to stay. I'm comfortable here now. What God has put in us, even at the very foundation of receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as we have asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will come and fill you and teach you and grow, you know, I'm just paraphrasing all this, but grow in you the things of God, show you the things of God, that we are on a continuum of developing in the things of God. We all started down here as sinners, saved by grace, and now we're on that projection of just ding, 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 ding. Remember that? It's been a long time since I've watched that, but on the Price is Right, remember that the guy on the Alps and all that, and the prices would go, and the guy would continue to go up the steps, you know, and you'd stop him at the price you thought that the game thing was at, you know? Like a yodeler, you know, I guess. Stop it there. It's at $12,000. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep yodeling. Jesus, I don't know, I can't yodel Jesus. Yodel Jesus, oh, the outdoor, hey there. But we should be on a continuation of growing whatever degree of level that you want, but continue to grow in those things of God. But don't wait until you get here to be effective for God down here and say, I got to wait until I get there, because what's going to happen? When you get here, guess what's going to happen in your mind and what the enemy is going to tell you? Well, you better wait. Wait another 5 years. Wait another year or two. Why? Well, I hear they're going to get a new lesson in, a new curriculum. They're going to be studying on prayer again. Oh, my Lord. How many times have we studied on prayer in the 12 years at this church or the 30 years or the 40 years that the church has been here? You know, prayer. Let's study about prayer. God's Word says, pray without ceasing. In all things, in supplication and prayer. It's important. Talk to God. You don't need a formula, per se. You just need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to pray and to pray. But anyway, let's get back. So remember, that was the New Living. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. And again, we're looking at this. Let us agree on the things that we agree with that are totally in agreement with God's Word. And the things that aren't, let's let the Spirit work those out in us, because part of that is also what it is saying. God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained or arrived, let us walk by that same rule. Let us be of the same mind. See, if the enemy could come in and create distortion in the mind of the children of God, and he creates distortion in the body of Christ, because we know that God and the Holy Spirit is not coming in and creating confusion in the body of Christ, is he? Who's creating confusion and whatnot in the body of Christ? The Antichrist, the devil, the evil spirit, the dark side. He wants to come in, and he loves to come into a church and just create havoc. He loves to come in and to just put people against people, even in the body of Christ. I've had disagreements with people that are even here in the past, and all I can say is, I don't see the scripture that way, but I tell you what, sister, I love you, and I'm glad you're here. You don't have to see it the way that I see it, by what I see in the scripture, but I'm thankful that you're here as the body of Christ, and we're learning and developing and growing together. Remember, it says, mature is this, relating to a condition of full development. Now, we've been blessed this last couple of weeks back to have a new family member arrive. And during the times when this little one was just a thought in mommy and daddy's eye, and then he began to develop within mommy, you know, they went to doctors, and the doctors were be able to track the development of this baby. We didn't know what he or she, but we did find out it was a he, but we didn't know what he was going to look like, you know. We didn't know. We prayed continually for a healthy baby, for everything to develop properly, for little fingers and noses and ears and toes and fingernails and toenails, wrinkles here, wrinkles there. But throughout that time, they monitored the development of that baby just to see the weight and how big and what's looking and all of this. So as we find that the time comes for that baby to be delivered, it's like, hey, hallelujah, you know, and now, and daddy's back there today. So the rest of the family's at home, and I'm sure he wanted to come to a very peaceful, quiet place. No, just kidding. But then William came, and so now we got William in our family. But to mature in the things is relating to the condition or the full development of where we're at. I always would encourage you to take an inventory of where you're at with God. Take an inventory of what God has put in you and where you're using it and if you're even using it. And if he put it in you and you can no longer find it, somebody stole it. And who do you think stole it from you? I always related that back to when I was in the retail for many years. Every year, every store had to have an inventory of money in, money out. This is how much we sent in. This is how much your sales were for this past year. This is how many things were claimed out. These are the things for that, and blah, 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 blah. These are the markdowns that were taken, blah, 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 blah. Here's your bottom line of profit or what your losses are. You have to take an inventory to see where you're at. In the world, we do that so that we know if we're gaining or losing or if we're maintaining. We need to do that in our Christian walk. We need to do that with the things that God has placed within us by that of the Spirit, to maybe sit down sometimes and take an inventory. Just sit before the Lord and meditate and say, Lord, gosh, I had this and this and this, and those were all well and good and well and good. And now you look back and a year later you're going, but I don't sense this part of it anymore. Or I feel like I'm missing this in my Christian walk or my time with you. What is it, Lord? It is not until you understand what you're missing before you realize what you need to re-ask for or say claim it back. That's why we talk about going, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Things that God gives us freely, amen? You didn't buy it, did you? No. Freely given. The enemy will be there to say, I'll take it from you if you're not going to use it. I'll take it from you because I don't want you to be a power force for God and the kingdom of God. I don't want you to accomplish what God has for you. I want to take that away from you and allow you to be disgruntled, to be despondent, to be depressed, whatever the case is. I want to take whatever it is I can take from you. I want to take your health from you. I want to take your vibrance of your body away from you so that you are nothing but a crippled Christian. Well, sometimes we're a crippled Christian in the physical, but I tell you what, how sad it is when we're a crippled Christian in the spiritual realm. And you better call it back. You better shout it high and shout it long and bring it, Lord! Restore that back to me. Devil, it is not yours to have. I claim it back by that of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, bought with his blood, the power of the cross, whatever the case might be. Call it back. Claim it back. Get it back out of that enemy's camp. Live what you've learned. Live up to what you've already know and live out what you already have learned. Live up to what you already know, live out what you already have learned. Be careful not to be sidetracked by unending search for truth and learning more. Oh boy, we love that. I need more truth. I need to understand this more. I need. Well, that's why Jesus says, let the Holy Spirit come to lead you into all truth. To tell you what the Father in heaven is telling you and what you need to know. We have as many excuses of not to, why we don't need to react to the things of God in our life as Carter has what? Liver pills. And there was another Carter in our time, a Carter, and more than peanuts. Liver pills and peanuts, you know. I got to get this wrapped up here in just a minute here. Oh, that's right. The Packers aren't playing. We got until Monday night. We got all day and most of the morning tomorrow. Another thing about that Christians find draining and discouraging is trying to be that perfect Christian. Anybody ever tried to be that perfect Christian? Who tells you that you're not the perfect Christian? The devil. The devil loves to come on your shoulder and say, Tim, you're no perfect Christian. Tim, you've got this, that. You are not. You are. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. You can't do that. You're no. God's not going to use you. God's not going to be able to work through you. God's not going to provide that. God's. You're crazy. You're not that perfect Christian. Another thing that Christians find draining is discouraging is trying to be that perfect Christian. If we get ourselves into this thought process, we may come away believing that we will never please God. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Even a Christian, even a person in the body of Christ say, I just don't think I'm going to be able to please God. Really? Why is that? What are you not doing that's not going to be pleasing to God? You know, he's probably not put upon your heart to go into some third or fourth world country to put up a mission field or something like that. But what is it? Why would you think that you're not going to be able to please God? Paul used perfection in 3:12, Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I pressed on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I have already attained. Not that I've already attained or that I'm ready or perfected, but I press on. Even Paul was saying, perfected, maturity. It's a growing thing. You know, I can't look out to say, oh, everybody here is 100% mature. In the natural, we think we got ages that show us maturity, right? You know, adolescence, childhood, adolescence, teenage years, adulthood. We think at certain ages, but we know that's not right. We know chronologically that don't help either because I've seen some crazy and wacky 52-year-old people that are as immature as a 10-year-old. How about you? So we can't go at age, but society has kind of put a thing on like, okay, there should be at this level of time maturity in your walk of life and what you're choosing and what you're doing and how you're holding yourself going through this life. But Paul used perfection here to mean mature or complete, not flawless. Do you mean to tell me, Lord, that as I look out over these people, they're flawed in some areas? Do you mean, Lord, because I know you guys are sitting out there looking at me saying, you mean, Lord, that as I look at Pastor Tim, that there's flaws in him? Well, he's a perfect pastor. He's a perfect guy. He's perfect. No, he's not. I'm not. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stop serving God and allowing him to continue to work in me and move through me and help me and grow me and develop me. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to work into me, to be able to help me understand the things that God is seeing in me that wants to be changed, and I can't change it on my own account or my own ability, but I can be changed through him. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Greater is God. As I say, come in, Lord, I am willing and asking him for his help. So it's not to be flawless in every detail, to press on in maturity, doing so with the help of the Holy Spirit's power. The power, the power, the power of Pentecost. You know? Again, we talked real quick about how the Holy Spirit is really kind of pushed off to the side in a lot of our churches, and we speak of him, but we don't walk in him or use him or allow him to be so active in our life. We want to learn about him, and we read studies about him, and we see it in scriptures of what the day of Pentecost was all about. And then we go, well, but that was good, and there's the Holy Spirit, but it only moves upon, you know, certain people, and it was really active back in the New Testament days. But no. Why would Jesus didn't say that I must go so that the Holy Spirit can come for just the next 100 years? You know? No, I got to go so the Holy Spirit can come. And while you guys, as you are my disciples, while your age is here, and once you guys are all dead, then the Holy Spirit will kind of take away or take his hands off of the power and the visions and all that he does for us. No, it's powerful for today. But we've got to keep it alive in our churches. It's by the help of the Holy Spirit's power. We can grow and mature spiritually as we continue to trust Christ, learn more about him, draw closer to him, and obey him. In this area of 3:15, as far as this focus, I like this. It says, recognize that a single-eyed pursuit of God is the hallmark of true spiritual maturity. A single-eyed pursuit. It's like aiming the gun. As I'm not a deer hunter, but there'll be those in this coming up in different hunting times. When they tell you to shoot a gun, they never tell you to keep both eyes open. Why is that? Because you can't. There's no way of aiming correctly. It's just like you got two vision fields out there. But you got to be able to aim with your one eye and draw down on it. And that's that focus. And that's to be able to zero in and to see. When I close my one eye, everything that I see straight to that corner back there, it comes into more focus to the point to where I can zero in on that back there. A single-eyed pursuit of God is that hallmark of a true spiritual maturity. We've got to be focused and zeroed in, laser focused on these things of God. Amen? You've got to do that in your walk today. I challenge you with that. Don't look at both eyes and try to say, oh. I tell you what, it's amazing now that everything is talking about lasers. Basically, in shooting now, you don't really have to even aim, other than if you can point and turn on that little red dot, and wherever that red dot is, that's where the bullet's going. You can shoot it, and it's gonna zero in on that target if it's all set up right. But as we look at that, I would encourage you today and the days ahead to be single-eye focused on God, laser-focused on him, but also be using what you have already learned from him so that you become effective for him and that other people around you receive the benefit of that. Amen? See, we are given a task to do, and it's not to just stay in your church, and when we leave here and go home and go to work and come to church and go home and come back and go this. We are here to serve him wherever he places us, out in our families, out in the works, out in the public areas, out wherever you might be, that you become an example. You become, you know, his church out there. So I want to encourage you today. Devotion focuses on the pursuit of intimacy with God. It's devoting oneself to knowing Jesus Christ. One measure of maturity is the degree to which the pursuit becomes our consuming focus and desire. There's songs out there, consuming fire. Consuming. We pray and we might sing a song, consume me, Father. You know, take me, Lord. Fill me with you, Lord. So that's the encouragement for you today. You've already got a lot of stuff of God in you. Just put it to use. Don't allow the enemy to say you don't know enough about it, because if you don't know enough about it, you just launch out, and I'm going to guarantee you, if you got the Holy Spirit will speak through you, in you, and give you words to say and to speak those things to those around you. Amen? It's if you've surrendered to the Holy Spirit. If you've surrendered your life to Him and say, God, I'm not my own, I'm yours. Use me. I think He will use you, don't you? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this day. I thank You for this opportunity to share Your truth. I pray now, Lord, that it enters into our spirits, that, Lord, it just continues to develop within our thoughts. That, Father, we would even look at Your word again in Philippians and some of these areas here, Lord, of what You've done for us, and that we would recognize, Lord, that we've got and gained a lot from You, Lord, and that, Lord, we will be able to fulfill everything You have for us if we just continue to be obedient to You and ask You to move in our lives. And that we surrender ourselves every day to You, Lord, because, Lord, we can't do it on our own. We need You, and I thank You for that.